You said you came ready to receive tonight, so I'm going to take your word for it. I'm going to try to get y'all fired up here now because you're already fired up, right? So you came ready tonight. But if I need to prime the pump, I'll do it. Don't make me prime the pump. I'll prime it. But we're ready tonight. Praise God. This is part six of our series entitled Walking in Divine Health. If you're struggling in body, physically, you need to hear this series. This is why we preached it, so people wouldn't walk in sickness. Amen. I had this is a heck of a way to start, but I'll just say it because it's coming up in my heart to say this. I had a family, this was a few years back in South Dayton, come up to me. They had all of a sudden, you know, had just not been there for a while. You know, they were there, not been there, and then they really started struggling in their body. I said, Pastor, what do I do? What do I do? I said, hop in a time machine and go back 6 weeks and come to church because I told you exactly what to do in those 6 weeks. And so I encourage you, if you're struggling in your body, thank God for technology. We have live stream. And we encourage you to get on live stream and listen to these messages. God doesn't want you struggling in your body. He wants you walking in divine health. And so this is part six of that. You can go with me to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. And then we're going to go ahead and pray. He loves us so much. And he's got the answers to every single problem that we're going through. And he just cares so dearly about us. But let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, say what needs to be said. Do what needs to be done. Father, may my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, we didn't come to hear from a man and some opinions, philosophies, theories, ideas. Father, we came to hear from heaven. Father, I'll be the mouthpiece for you tonight. Or as the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And what that means, Father, is when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. And Father, I thank you that it'll speak life unto the people. And Father, lives will be changed. Destinies will be overturned here tonight. Things will come out of my mouth that will be so specific to their life and their situation and their circumstance that they'll even have the thought, how did he know that I needed to hear that? And the answer will be, I didn't know, but God did, and he loves you so much. So Father, I thank you, you're going to speak to people tonight. You're going to help people. And Father, it'll be a sign unto them of how much you love them, how much you care, and that this is a safe place where people can come and hear from heaven. So Father, we give you the praise and the glory for what we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm not going to go through the whole review because it's just too much to cover. And we have the live stream. We encourage you to go on there. So I'm just going to real quick mention what we talked about last week. And last week we started to look at, because the first 4 weeks we're just talking about what God's take is on divine healing, what the Bible says about it, what belongs to the Christian. Do we have to be sick? Listen, if we have to be sick and God wants us sick and if God makes us sick and there's no help for our sickness, you better believe that's what I'm going to be preaching. But if God in his word says something different, I'm going to preach what his word says. And his word is clear. And don't take my word for it. Never just take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for anything. It's always got to line up with the Bible. Go back in that series and listen, and you'll find out clearly it is God's will for you to be healed. Not only is it God's will for you to be healed, a great price was paid for your healing. But just like salvation was provided for, just like God sent his son Jesus to die for the whole world, the Bible said he's not willing that any should perish. Not everybody's born again. Not everybody's walking in salvation, even though it's God's will. You have to cooperate with how he does it to receive it. How do you get saved to go to heaven? The Bible says through Jesus, believing on him. Well, I don't want to believe on Jesus. I don't want to receive Jesus, but I want to go to heaven. You can't go to heaven until you cooperate by what the word says. Well, it's the same thing. God's will is that his children would walk in divine healing. He doesn't want his kids sick. You don't want your kids sick, and he doesn't want his kids sick. But just like salvation, you have to learn to cooperate with how he does things, or divine healing will be something that's out of reach for people when God provided it the whole time. And those first 4 weeks will take care of that stuff and just convince you through the word of what his word says. I don't care if you've been sick your whole life. I mean, I care. I don't want you to be sick, but that's not an indicator that you can never be healed. It's not an indicator that God doesn't want you to be healed. Today's a new day, praise God. And we saw last week, we started to look at, okay, how do we receive this divine healing? Because there are many Christians who are children of God, who are going to heaven, who are loved by Him, who are walking in sickness and disease, who are experiencing pain in their body, symptoms in their body. I'm not talking about a test of it. I'm talking about a lifestyle of it. And they just don't know or they're unaware. Well, we're going to start teaching you how to receive divine healing. And we showed you last week that there's only two biblical ways a person can get healed. Divine healing. I'm not talking through medicine or you know, herbs and supplements, all that helps your body. I'm talking about divine healing. There's only two ways a person can receive them. And we saw them in the first one I'm not going to spend a lot of time on because that's not the one we're looking forward to. And that's by a gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is gifts of the Spirit are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's nine of them. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of healings. And what is that? A gift of healing? Well, the Bible says it's as the Lord wills it. And with a gift of healing, it's when God decides to heal somebody supernaturally by a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We saw an example of this in John chapter 5. The man that was sick for over 30 years and was laying by the pool. And the Bible said a certain season, an angel would come down and trouble the waters. Well, the angel's not on his own program. Sent down to stir that water up because God sends him down there. And what happens when the water got stirred up, the first person that would get in the pool, and you can read this again in John chapter 5, would be healed. Well, that's like a gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 says, as the Lord wills. The Lord would will it, he would send somebody down, and an angel down, trouble the water, someone would get in, and the first one in got healed. The second one didn't, the third one didn't, the fourth one didn't. The first person that got in. Well, you might think to yourself, man, that stinks. That stinks that God could just do that every once in a while, and that's the way a lot of people are. When God decides to want to do it, then we can receive it. Now, that's a gift of the Spirit. That's as the Lord wills. If we could just turn that on every time, we would, but you can't. They're as the Lord wills. But God gave the Christian a higher plane. We don't have to wait for the angel to come down. We don't have to wait for God to just decide to manifest a gift of the Spirit. No, we can receive it a better way, which is by faith, praise God. Real quick, go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. It says here, talking about the woman with the issue of blood. It said, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I'll be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately in himself, knowing that virtue or power had gone out of him, so she touches him, and he notices something different goes out of him. He says, who touched me? Because he realized something happened here. I felt power go out of me. And the disciples said in the next verse, you see all these people touching you, and you're asking specifically who touched you? Well, evidently there were lots of people. The multitudes were touching him, but nothing was going out of him at their touch. But when she touched him, something went out of him. She activated something that day. She flipped the switch. How do we know? Well, the Bible tells us. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, that the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thank God a gift of the Spirit manifested here today. No. Daughter, thank your lucky stars I was here. No. Daughter, your faith made you whole. What am I trying to tell you? Your faith can make you whole. Remember in Mark chapter 10, we don't have time to go there, but blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging, son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And he just kept walking. You know, he got louder and louder, finally got his attention. Remember, Jesus called him over. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Blind Bartimaeus said, that I may receive my sight. Jesus again said, son, your faith made you whole. Hallelujah. How about Matthew chapter 8 when the centurion, his servant, was homesick, and the centurion came to him and he said, I'll go heal him. And he said, you don't have to come to my house, just speak the word only. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. What? Faith got done. What about Matthew 15:22, the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was grieving the devil? Remember she came to Jesus begging, Lord, have mercy on my daughter, my daughter, my daughter. And Jesus ignored her. You know, the disciples ignored her. What was he doing? See, By what we know of God and His mercy, He wants none of His children vexed by a devil. He wants none of His children sick. But isn't it interesting that Jesus couldn't just do whatever He wanted that day? He had to wait till she got onto a certain level of faith. And she did. She got the faith, and Jesus said, "Be it done unto you." And her daughter was healed that self same hour, the Bible says. And Jesus said, "Your faith did this." Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here tonight, you don't have to wait for a minister to call out your condition. You don't have to wait to go to, if I could just get into Benny Hinn service, I'm just thinking of the healers out there, you know, if I could just get into one of Creflo Dollar service, if I could just get into so-and-so service that has a healing ministry, if I could just get into one of their services, then I would be made whole. No, you don't have to wait for that. Faith is available right now. God wants you healed. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, because I know the thought is people say, "Yeah, but Pastor Mike, I've got something incurable. I got something that I've had for years. It's impossible." Well, Jesus said unto him, "If you can believe," what's he saying? If you can have faith. What does he say about if you can have faith? All things are then possible, not if God decides to do it. Not if God's power shows up that day. See, God's power is always available. He says the way to make a draw on that power was the way the woman with the issue of blood made a draw on that power. You say, how do we know what she did? Because Jesus told her at the end, your faith did this. The way that you can flip the switch on God's power manifesting and being directed in your life, he said, if you can believe it, has nothing to do with him. He said, it's all about you. Why? His power is always the same. It's always ready. It's always available. He's always willing. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says, my promises are yes and amen. They're never no. They're never well maybe. They're never no, just wait longer. No, they're always yes. But you got to flip the switch. Amen. Amen. He said, if you can believe, had nothing to do with him. He says, if you can believe, then all things. See that thing in your mind that's so big, it's been there for so many years, so incurable, so impossible. It's just an all thing. That's right. He said, all things are possible to the one that believes. So you could say it this way. All things aren't possible to the doubters. If you could say it the one way, you could say it the other way. All things are possible if you can get over into a realm of faith. See, when Jesus was denying that woman in Matthew 15, he said, healing bread's for the children. I don't cast it to the dogs. I'm ignoring you. The disciples are ignoring you. He's trying to get her to a place where she has the faith enough to receive. His power is way bigger than your incurable. You do know that, don't you? His power is way bigger than your impossible. His power is way bigger than that problem you've had for year after year after year. His power is miraculous. It's mighty. Amen. Amen. And it's always available. But he says the way you're going to draw on that is if you can get into faith. And then we showed you in Romans 10, 17. I thought I said I wasn't going to review. What the heck happened? Something happened up here. Something happened. It wasn't supposed to. Romans 10, 17, so then faith. If we need faith, we better figure out how to get faith. That's how we ended last week. Amen. So then faith, what's faith? Belief. What did Jesus say about belief? All things become possible. When you can step over into that realm, you just stepped over into the realm of everything being possible to come to your situation. Amen. Amen. Well, God, just do it. Just do it, God. Where are you? God, just do it. No, he's waiting for you to get in faith. Why? He's a God that's bound by his word. He will not lie. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes. What's faith? That mountain-moving ability, that thing that can bring all things to you. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the only way you can get faith, by hearing the word. You could study your Bible from now until next week, and you'll not find any other place in the Bible that tells you how to get faith. There's only one way to get faith. It's by hearing the word of God. You can't pray for faith. We don't see one place. You say, yeah, but I thought Jesus did. No. Jesus prayed that Peter's faith wouldn't fail. He didn't pray that Peter would have faith. The only way you can get more faith is by hearing the word. How did you get faith to be saved? You heard the word about salvation. What happened? You heard about Jesus. He died on the cross, rose again. Eternity's yours. What happened? Faith rose up on the inside of you. Well, you hear the word on healing. Guess what you're going to have faith for? You know what people all the time come up to me? Pastor, pray for me. I'm believing God for my healing. And you know what comes out of my mouth next? It's not, don't know if this is nice or not nice, but this is what comes out. Tell me what scripture you're standing on. I'm not trying to be mean. You can't be in faith without the Word of God. It's impossible. Well, Pastor, I'm believing for financial change of mine. Oh, perfect. Praise God. Let's agree. What scripture are you standing on? You're not in faith. So last week we got to make sure that we're in faith, right? And so we're going to find out, how do we know we're in faith? If faith is what flips the switch, we better be in what Bible calls faith. And I'm just here to tell you, I'm not trying to be mean about it. I'm not trying to be sensational with my statements or just dramatic. Most Christians that think they're in faith are not in faith. They're in hope. They're in wishing. They're in wanting. They're in desiring. Faith is not hope. Amen. Faith is not wishing. Faith is clearly defined in His Word, and we got to make sure, if it takes faith, or you could sit around and wait for your gift of the Spirit, you might be waiting 38 years. That's how long that guy waited, 38 years. He had laid there and waited for that to happen. You can wait 38 years if you want to, or you could just walk out here tonight and say, it's time for this to change. Well, how do we know we're in faith? Well, we've got to find out what the Bible says about faith. And I know this could step on people's toes because it's like you're rubbing them the wrong way. But listen, I don't care about being right. I want to get it right. I'm not so big on, I want to make sure I'm right. No, I want to make sure I'm getting it right in my life. Because it's not the things you're doing right that are hurting you. Amen. It's the things you're doing wrong that are hurting you. And you know, when it comes to faith, we better know that we're in faith. You know, it doesn't matter if you think you're in faith or you hope you're in faith. If it doesn't line up with what the Bible says is faith, you're not in faith. I don't care how happy you think you are in this faith journey that you are on. Let's go through the Word tonight and let's identify some things. And if you're in faith, praise God, stick with it. But I told the story last week of the time I visited Pitt Bradford College with my friend Jill, you know, the girl that I was the maid of honor in her wedding. Did not make me wear a dress, though. I know that's what you thought. Those who never heard that story, you thought he was a maid of honor. What kind of dress did he wear? They didn't make me wear a dress. I have to wear a tuxedo. And I was the maid of honor in her wedding. We were going to go to college together. And we're going to Pitt Bradford. You get on the Jamestown exit there by Bob Evans and the Mobile and the Quickfill and the hotels there on Route 60 in Jamestown. And you either go west or you go east. Well, you go east to go to Pitt Bradford, but we went west towards Erie, not knowing. Just always thought that's where Pitt Bradford was. You get on 86. I'd only been that way, you know. And going on there, we're just singing songs, talking about how excited we are to visit the college. I mean, we're driving down the highway, going a direction. I'm thinking we're just in the right place at the right time. Oh, we're going to be early. And then all of a sudden, I see a sign for Erie. And I thought, wait a second. I was told it was about 45 minutes from my house. Erie's about 45 minutes. And I have not seen one sign for Pitt Bradford. What happened? Did they move the college? And then we found out, went the wrong way. But my point is, the whole time we thought we were right. We were comfortable. We were happy thinking we are hanging the moon here today and going the wrong way. Well, maybe, just maybe, you're struggling in a situation and spinning your wheels and you're wondering, why isn't it manifesting? And you're thinking to yourself, it can't be because I'm not in faith. I know I'm in faith. Well, I've been able to uncover a lot of times with people in talks that you're not in faith. You think you're in faith, but you're not in faith. Let's find out tonight. Amen? Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. What is faith? How do we know we're in faith? We're going to cover a bunch here today. We'll see what we get through here. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is. I mean, the Bible just tells you exactly what it is. We don't even have to guess or make it up here tonight. He says, now faith is the substance of what you're hoping for. It's not what you're hoping for. It's the substance of what you're hoping for. We're all hoping for things, but hope alone is not faith. But faith is the substance, the thing you can grab. One translation says it's the handle. Substance, something you can grab onto. Of things hoped for, it's the evidence of what you can't see. Now, this will make it easier. Kim Lai, would you pull up the Amplified? Look at what it says here in the Amplified. It just does what that translation does, is amplify it. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So here's what faith is. Faith is the proof, the evidence, the substance, the title deed, the conviction of something we can't see. Yeah. Amen. That's what it is. That means if you're going through sickness in your body, and you're having, if you're in true faith about healing, that means you can't see the healing. The healing's not there. If you're in faith for believing for poverty to change to prosperity, there's no sign of it anywhere that you can see the natural that it's changing. That's what faith is. Believing in something you can't see, right? Do you see that there? Now, that faith would look like something. I'm going to show you what it looks like, because when you see what it looks like, it's easier to see that, because it says that it's the proof, the conviction, the evidence of what we can't see. It would look like Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. Go to Romans 4 and verse 19, showing you what faith looks like. What does that mean, the proof, the conviction, the evidence, the substance of what we can't see? Well, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, it's a story of Abraham. When Abraham was 75 years old, he was promised that he'd have a son. And they did have a son. He was 100, Sarah was 90, and 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman don't normally give birth. That's not normal. Have yet to read that on Yahoo News. You know, you're searching through the news. I've not seen that one yet, except for the Bible news. I saw it there. And it says this about Romans chapter 4. So we're talking about what? What is the faith that has proof, conviction, evidence, substance of things we can't see? It says, and not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body. What is his own body? Something you can see. Something you can feel. Something that's in the natural, right? He says, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, which is about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. What's Sarah's womb? Something in the natural. Something that's there. Something you can't see, but you understand it's there in the natural. It's a natural thing. And then he goes on to say, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now here comes the proof, conviction, evidence, and substance of things we can't see. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. What's fully persuaded? Faith. What was he? What's fully persuaded? Conviction. Proof. Evidence. Substance. The Bible says that Abraham was fully persuaded, or 100% in faith concerning something he couldn't see. His faith wasn't in the fact that 100-year-old men normally give babies. Faith wasn't in the fact that the doctors were saying this is going to happen. No. His faith was totally in something he couldn't see. But what was that faith? Full assurance. Fully persuaded. Sold out to the fact. Amen? Hallelujah. So let me ask you, put you on trial here, but let me ask you, what are you believing, quote, air quotes here, what are you believing God for? Now, maybe it's not healing. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. Whatever. All things are possible, not just healing. All things are possible. Amen. Let me ask you, because true faith looks like something. What is it? It has conviction, evidence, proof. What's it look like? What Abraham was? What? Fully persuaded. Don't care that my body's 100. Don't care that she's 90 and her womb's dead. Doesn't matter. Don't care what the doctors are saying. Don't care what I feel like. Don't care what the norm is. I'm fully persuaded. So let me ask you what you're believing for. Are you fully persuaded, completely convicted, convinced that what you're believing for will 100% without a shadow of a doubt manifest in this realm? If there's any part of you, I don't know. Abraham was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Now, you can have doubt in your head and belief in your heart, because faith is not of the head, it's of the heart. And we'll see that tonight. But are you convinced without a shadow of a doubt? Oh, if people were convinced without a shadow of a doubt, they'd talk different. They'd look different. They wouldn't be so sour-faced, so sad-faced, so disgruntled, so grumpy, so frustrated, so angry, so touchy if they were completely convinced. Now, you know what I like to do? I like to use this example. We call it water bottle dropping faith. What's water bottle dropping faith? Well, most of you have seen this, but this is just, think about this and put it into your situation. I'm believing for healing. I'm believing for this to change. If I were to tell you that nobody's going to get up, nobody's going to do anything, I'm just going to hold this bottle, I'm going to release this bottle. And I said, how many of you would believe when I would do that? If I just stand there after I open my hand and nothing else changes, how many of you believe that would hit my Bible? Every one of you would say, I believe that bottle's going to fall from your hand and hit that bottle. Wouldn't you? We know it would. I mean, we see it over and over. It's just going to keep doing it. It's never going to stop midair. It's never going to stick to my hand. It's never going to flow away and fly away. It's always going to just, you can do this a million times. And so before I do it, well, maybe this next time it won't. And I say to you, do you believe that the next time Pastor Mike opens his hand that bottle is going to hit that Bible? Do you believe that? Yeah. You're right. But you know what you said? That you were convinced before it happened that it would have happened. Let me ask you now, put that in your own situation, because if that's the kind of faith that it takes to receive, that's what faith is, that being convicted of what you can't see, being convinced of what you can't see, that's what Abraham was. He was convinced, fully persuaded, I'm having a baby. My body says no, doctors say no, Sarah says no, all my friends say no, family says no, everybody says no. Twitter says no, Facebook says no, Instagram says no, they all say no, but I'm convinced. That's right. Before you could see it. Well, let me ask you, are you that convinced? If you're not, you have a faith problem. You have a faith problem. If you think you're going to get God to move on your situation, Jesus said, if you can be in faith, then you'll receive. All those people were touching Jesus, and only one got it. And he said, you know why you got this, lady? Your faith. Your faith. Well, what is faith? This is faith. Being fully persuaded, convinced, convicted, substance, the proof of what you can't see. Well, do you believe that without a shadow of a doubt? If you don't, well, Pastor, what if I don't? What do I do? Get more word in you. Yeah. Why? Faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. I had a situation one time with a family member who had to have a bunch of work done on her teeth. They were real bad, and she had to have a lot of surgery. And I said, let's pray and believe God for this. And I was so impressed with her. She said, I got to be honest with you. I'm not there. I don't believe that I can get this fixed without going to the doctor. And I said, well, nothing wrong with going to the doctor. But how many of you know God's highest and best is not the doctor? Yeah. I'm just saying God's highest and best. I go to doctors. My family, we go to doctors, medicine and stuff. But God's highest and best is never surgery. Yeah. It's never the doctor. It's always just living free from medicine and all that stuff. But don't misunderstand me now. Going to the doctor and taking medicine does not mean you're out of faith. A lot of people get that mixed up. They think, well, if I'm in faith, I'll throw away my medicine. Oh, you'll get in trouble doing that. Yeah. If I'm in faith, I'll go to the doctor, you know. I don't love this, but I'd say that sarcastically in a sense that these people they experiment with their faith on their children. You've heard of them. Kids are sick, they won't take them to the doctor. We're standing in faith, believing for them. Our kids ends up dying, and a doctor could have gave them some medicine, would have fixed that infection, would have fixed that problem. You don't play your faith on your children, experiment on your kids. Yeah, amen. People all the time do things they think they're in faith and they're not in faith. Yeah. And they're hurt by it. I knew a lady that threw away her medication. She was had anxiety so bad. She heard the faith message and she thought, devil twisted it, said, if you're on medicine, you're out of faith. No, you're not. Yeah. You're not out of faith if you're taking medicine. I'm just saying God's highest and best is that you'd never have to take medicine. Well, if you're not there yet, let's progress together. But let's not beat ourselves up if we're there. Let's take our medicine in faith. And she heard the message. She threw away all her anxiety pills. And she ended up in the hospital, the worst anxiety attack she ever had. Well, then she finally got wise to it all and started taking her medicine. Every time she popped one of those pills, she'd say, Father, I thank you. One day I'm not going to have to take this. Amen. Well, that pleases God. Faith pleases God. That's faith. Amen. And she did. She started weaning off that thing. She's not on it anymore. I tell you. Amen. So it's not the doctors, that's not what I'm saying, that doctors don't go out of here and say that. Praise God. But that family member of mine said, I don't know, I can't believe that. I said, well, you know, it's going to cost you a lot of money that you don't have. See, because money doesn't just grow on trees, fall out of the sky. So that's why I was trying to give her a better alternative. She said, well, my faith's not there. She says, but, she said, I've been meditating a lot in the Word on financial provision and stuff. My faith is there. I said, my God, let's agree for the money then, and let's go get the surgery. And she did. And she got the money. Well, how did she have faith for the money? She had heard the Word over and over and over and over again. You say, Pastor, my faith's not there yet. My faith's not there yet. Hear more Word. Get your faith there yet. Praise God. You can do it. God's not mad at you. Hallelujah. Years ago, it would have taken everything I had to believe for $100. Now you get building projects, $400,000, $500,000. Mean nothing to me anymore. I'm telling you what, that $15,000 offering for the roof fund, big whoop. I'm just telling you the truth. I have got, see, God is bigger to me than 15 grand. You know the story of the lady with the student loans. I mean, we tell a lot of the same stories. Why? Because it helps you. She said, Pastor, what am I to do? You know, I'm in financial trouble. You don't understand. She says, I got all my student loans to pay back. I said, that's all right. God's big. She says, no, you don't understand. I have hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debt. She's in the medical field. So when she told me that, I think she was expecting to make me afraid. That her bigger number is going to scare me. She said, no, you don't understand. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I looked at her and I go, oh. And now I was trying to get her to a place. I said, as if God is afraid of your number. He's God. That's the problem. Some people hear $15,000 for a roof, I think, oh my God, the church is going under. Is that all that God's big? Is that how big God is to you? That you're a couple $100 short every month and you wig out about it and can't sleep at night? Is that how big God is to you? Oh, come on, people. He's the parting Red Sea God. He's the raising from the dead God. Hey, man. He's the feeding from the bread from heaven God. I mean, you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So water bottle dropping faith. If you don't have water bottle dropping faith, you know how you get water bottle dropping faith? You get more word in you. So I don't know. That incurable word's bigger than what I believe. That impossible word, that the fact that I've had this for years is bigger than I can handle. Okay, then you just need more faith on it. How do you get more faith? More word. Just keep meditating in the word. Meditating in the word on God, his bigness, his goodness, his healing. And faith will come. The Bible says it will come. Amen. Now, I want to show you going forward here that there's a key or a foundation that if it's not laid, water bottle dropping faith is impossible to have. Amen. And how many of you know you need a good foundation to build on? Yeah, Jesus talked about foundations, didn't he? He said, don't build on the sand, you're a fool. Don't build on the sand. Hallelujah. You know, I was talking with Jason, the one we bought the building from, he's in the construction field. I said, do you guys go build your buildings on the sand? No, you don't go build your buildings on the sand. You build, put the concrete down, build a strong foundation. Well, your faith needs a foundation. Because how in the world could Abraham, being 100 years old, actually be persuaded that he would have a child? You can't come up with that on your own and get to that place of faith on your own. How in the world could that be? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Are you ready to see it? Well, go back to Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. Because I know I'm not belittling things you're facing. I'm just trying to get your mind on God, that he's bigger than what you're facing. Yeah. So many people have magnified the wrong thing in their situation. They praise their problem instead of praising their solution. What do I mean by what's praising the problem? You give attention to it. Oh, this is so big. Oh my gosh, did you hear what happened to you? Oh, this is what I'm facing. Just keep talking about that. What are you doing? Blowing that problem up bigger and bigger. But when you start saying, God, you are great. You are the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You are the God of Daniel and the lion's den. You are the God that parted the Red Sea. You are the God that fill in the blank. You are the God that did this. Your problems start to get popped and get smaller as God gets bigger. Nobody's belittling what you're facing. But I'm here to tell you, God's bigger than what you're facing. And until you get that mindset, you're going to have trouble being in faith. But how then can we get from incurable, impossible, to years and years and years, and this will never change, and you have to have this your whole life, and I've been taking this medication for 20 years now. How do we get where we can actually cross over to the place where we are convinced, fully persuaded, that we'll do it again? Well, Hebrews 11, verse 1 in the Amplified says this: now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Now, you know what a title deed is? It's a document that proves you own something. A title deed for a house, title deed. My truck at home, locked up in my safe, there's a deed to that truck, a title to that truck that says who the owner is. I could have that in my pocket. Let's just say that this little card is the title deed. I could say to you, I have a whatever Ford F-150 truck, and you have nowhere, you can't see it anywhere. I mean, let's just see, you run into me at the park, I'm walking my dog or something. You say, what kind of vehicle you have? And for some reason, I went to the DMV that day, you know, and so it's still stuffed in my pocket. Although my title deed's never stuffed in my pocket, but you know what I'm saying. And I see at the park, you say, what kind of vehicle do you have, Pastor Mike? I have a F-150, it's gray. No, you don't. I don't believe that. No, I do, I'm telling you. Where is it? I can't see it. Oh, you don't need to see it. All you need to see is the title. And I pull out the title, and on that title, it tells what color it is, tells what make and model it is, what is that, says my name on it, what's that showing people? It proves that I own it without them being able to see it. Well, the Bible says faith is like a title deed. It's the proof of what you're believing for before you can see it. Now, you can't see my truck right now, but if I have my title deed, I could show you. I have one, even though you don't see it. Hallelujah. The document proves that that person owns something that you can't see. That's what a title deed is. It's proof of ownership without you having to see the house. It's proof of ownership without you having to see the vehicle. You can bring your title deed in here. I know you're a homeowner. I don't have to see your house. You could bring the title deed with your name on it and the address, and it would show me that you're a homeowner, wouldn't it? Same with your title with your vehicle. What is it? It's proof of something that I can't see. It's a document. Well, well, well. We have a document that says things belong to us that we might be able to see or experience in the natural. What am I saying? Well, we're talking about healing. The Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. He is a healer. He takes away all sickness and disease, he says. Forgives your iniquities, heals all your diseases. He says, I am the Lord that heals you. Okay? So you're facing a sickness and disease, and the symptoms are real, and you're taking the medicine, you're going to the doctor, you're in the hospital, you can see the doctor's reports, you can hear the doctor say, it's incurable, it's impossible. Well, Abraham had some incurables, impossibles being brought his way as a 100-year-old man, didn't he? But Abraham's faith was in what he couldn't see. And what's faith? Faith is like a title deed. Well, what title deed did Abraham have that would prove that he was going to be a daddy? Because that's what faith is. Well, go to Romans 4:21. And I'll get back to the whole thing with the sickness. What's the proof? Romans 4:21. What is the title deed? What is the title deed? How could Abraham step over into a place as a 100-year-old man, a 90-year-old wife, and have a child? And the Bible says that he was convinced, he was fully persuaded, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, did not consider his own body now almost dead and 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. How can you get over to that place? How can you step over into a place when a doctor who has studied and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on their education, who is very intelligent, has blood reports and tests and x-rays and MRIs and CAT scans, how can you get to a place where you're standing there saying, I am convinced I'm free of this. I am convinced it's manifesting. How? 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 Well, Abraham, how could you do that, Abraham? Verse 21. And being fully persuaded. Here it is. What's the title deed? That what he had promised. What is the foundation? of any faith. What's his promise? What's he said? The only reason Abraham could say, I know I'm 100, and I know she's 90, I know my body's not working right to have a baby, I know her body's not working right to have a baby, but I'm telling you what, I'm a dad. How could he do that? Because he had the title deed. What was the title deed? A promise from God. That was the foundation to faith. Well, how can you, in an incurable, impossible, years taking medication, feel the symptoms in your body, see it on a report, see it on an image, how can you stand there and say, I am healed and this will not stay? You got to find out what belongs to you. Because the title deed tells who the owner is. And if God in his word says healing belongs to you, doesn't matter what the doctors say, you can stake your faith on that. Amen. Hallelujah. The key is his word. I've used this one. It's one of the more recent ones. There's been others, but I bring this up a lot because of the amount of money and the pressure and the professionals and the natural that was coming. When we built the building in South Dayton, they said by code, New York State code, the building inspectors told me this, the contractors told me this, and the architects told me this, you have to put a sprinkler system in. We didn't find out until almost the end of the project when all the money and everything's all set up and everything, and they're telling me at first it's going to be $50,000. We've got to dig across the highway to get into a water supply. It was going to be a big mess, and by the end of it, it was almost up to $100,000 additionally to get the sprinkler system that the architect said you have to have. The building inspector said it's New York State code, you got to have it. And the contractor said there's no way around this. So I started to seek God because I don't know what to put my faith on. Why? I can only put my faith on what he says I can have. He's the one bringing it to pass. I can only put my faith on what he says I can have. And so I sought him. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I said, $100,000 is nothing. I'll believe you for the additional $100,000, or I'll believe this whole thing will change and we won't have to have the sprinkler system. What do you want me to do? Well, I prayed and found out what he said. You know what he said? He said, believe me that this will change and you won't have to have the sprinkler system. And I think, you know, now that I think about it, believing for the money would have been easier in the natural than believing for the thing to change, because the thing to change, I'm not good at contract work, all that kind of stuff, code. I don't know any of that. I'm as ignorant as they come. And I have professionals who do this for a living and know their stuff that I trust telling me, you can't avoid this. And God says to believe opposite of what they're saying. It would have been easier if you'd have said, believe for the 100 grand. I said, okay, I know how to get money. Amen. Oh, I'll teach you how to get money someday in this church. Amen. It's not... Those of you didn't see what just happened. We just had a little accident up here. Something came flying out of my mouth. I get fired up a little bit sometimes, but I'm here to tell you, money's not hard to come by. I'm telling you, when you do it God's way and learn to be skillful with the word, when you need money, you do it God's way, it'll show up. You wait, I'm telling you. Oh, God made it hard because he wants you to struggle. No, God made it easy because he wants you blessed. And I said to him, I said, Lord, it's easy to believe for 100 grand. I'll believe for the 100 grand. We'll get that in no time. I'll believe for it, Lord. He said, nope. Believe me, which in the long run for it would have been, and actually it was better that we didn't have to get the money. It would have been easier on my mind, but it's better that we didn't have to raise all that extra money and raise money and use it for something else. Because the architects were telling me, and the code enforcer, and the contractor were saying, it's a stupid law for a building like this. By the time those sprinklers went off and started getting things wet, everybody would be out of the building. They said these laws were put into place by people that don't build buildings. Yeah, it happens a lot of times. Amen. You'll see that in sports a lot of times. The people that are making the rules are ones that never even played. And these people are making these. That's what the contractor said. I'm not just belittling the lawmakers. That's what they said. And so I said, okay, Lord, I know. I prayed and saw it. I know what your will is. Your will is that we don't have to believe for that money, that you're going to change this. So I got into faith, which... I guess we're not going to get there tonight because we're going to go too long. We'll have to be a part twoer. But that's okay. Oh, maybe part two will be on Tuesday night. We'll see what the Holy Ghost says. Say, Pastor, you're just doing that to get me to come here. So what? This is where you need to be. This is the best place for you. Amen. Well, Tuesday nights are hard. I got my TV show. You can just keep watching your TV show and I'll just keep preaching the word. Amen. If the Holy Ghost says do something different Tuesday night, I will. But if he says go ahead and preach this Tuesday night, I'm going to hand out that mail Tuesday night. But let me finish this. So I know how to release my faith. That's what we're going to look at in the next part of the service. Because we found out what faith is tonight and how to get there. You get there by the word. And so to get the title deed, it comes two places. Either the written word, but there's nothing in the Bible that tells me I believe for no salvation. There's nothing in the Bible that tells me I can believe for that. If he speaks it in my heart, that becomes word. That becomes his will. And so he said that to me. I said, okay, Lord, that's your will. I'm going to believe that we don't have to do this. So I got into faith, and what we're going to learn the next time we preach this, hopefully Tuesday, what? And then I was saying, I was releasing my faith every day for this. And they started to do the sprinkler system. And if you go into our mechanical room at South Dayton, you'll see the beginnings to provisions for a sprinkler system. And I got wind of it. They started. I said, hold off on that. I said, is it going to impede progress of the building to work on something else and hold off on this? See, I didn't want to tell them I had inside information. People that don't know God will think you're crazy. Don't go walking down the middle of the aisle at Walmart praying in tongues out loud. You're not helping Christians. Don't be a weirdo. I'm telling you, don't be a weirdo. I go telling them, oh, we're not, I have to do this. God said, they're going to look at me like, you are nuts. I'll just keep it to myself. I don't need to hear their doubt and unbelief. But I asked them, I said, is this going to impede your progress? They said, no, we can do something else. I said, just hold off on this then. Why? Just hold off on this. Let's do something different. Maybe it'll change. Let's hold off. I knew it was changing. And the contractor would call me up and say, and he would talk about everything. I'd say, so, we still have to have that sprinkler system? Pastor Mike, he's getting annoyed. I've told you, there's no way around it. The building inspector, Gary, his name is in South Dayton, said the New York State law, they're not changing it. The architect said, we can't change it. They even wrote provisions. The inspector and the architect wrote and said, for this building, it's ridiculous to require this. Can we get, I don't know the exact word it was, some kind of provision that we wouldn't have to get it in? And they said, no. The courts came back and said, no, this is the law. And I'm walking down the road with my dog every single day. Thank you, Father, we won't have to put a sprinkler system in. And the professionals, the natural, are saying, yes, you do. Abraham every day saying, I'm going to be a daddy. And his body's saying, and his wife's, and he's saying, tell everybody go buy his baby clothes. And they're thinking, we're not buying you baby clothes, you're an idiot. It's not going to happen. That's what the natural was saying. And the inspector's saying, yes, you are. Yes, you are going to have to do it. I'm saying, no, I'm not. Well, how can I be, I was persuaded, convinced. So much so that when I got the notification on my phone, I laughed at it when I saw it. Because as I think back, it wasn't a phone call, it was a text message. That, Pastor Mike, you're never going to believe this. New York State just all of a sudden changed their laws. This building doesn't need that sprinkler system. I looked at it and go, huh. I showed court. And I just looked at it and I said, God is so faithful. Well, why wasn't I like, oh my gosh, because I already believed it. I was just waiting for it to happen. Amen, it's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. How can I have that kind of faith? When people that know way more than me, that know the laws, know the codes, know what needs to be done, are telling me, you have to do this, and I'm walking down the street in my own little world. No, we're not going to have to do it. No, we're not going to have to do it. Father, I thank you. We're not going to. I wish you could see me on those walks. I bet the people that look out the window, because I have to be a little bit quiet when I'm around the houses, but still my mouth's moving, they think, who's he talking to? Must think his dog understands him or something. But man, when I get to the parts of the walk where there's no houses around, man, I lift my voice and declare what I believe. Amen. Father, I thank you. We're not going to have it. And we didn't have to have it. I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to. We'll close with this verse, and then we're going to shut it down. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. See, people set out all the time. Let me tell you something. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. That's what Psalm 127 verse 1 says. You can go building a lot of things. If God's not in it, it's going to be in vain. Amen. Well, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go this place. I'm gonna do this with my faith. Well, if God's not in it, you're not gonna have much success. 1 John 5 and verse 4. No, that's not where I want to go. Verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Here it is. This is the confidence. What's confidence? Sureness. Right. Conviction. This is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask, well, why are we asking? Because we need something. Yeah. If we ask anything that's according to his will, well, how could you ever know his will? He left us a will. Read the will. Well, what if what I'm believing for is not specifically in here? Pray and find out what his word is on it. Lord, I got a decision to make. $100,000 or believe you for, what do you want me to do? You don't need to believe for the money. Believe it's going to change. Okay, that's your will. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask according to his will, release our faith according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know he hears us. Well, how do we know he hears us? The verse before told you. Go back to the verse before, Kim Lai. How do we know that God hears us? If we ask according to his will, the Bible says he hears us. Then verse 15. If we know he hears us. Well, how do we know he hears us? Verse 14 told us. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. Well, what happens if he hears us? And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we have it. We have it. That's why when I pray for somebody for finances or for healing or something that's in the Word, and they're believing God for money, they're believing God for something with their kids, they're believing God for something in their body, when I pray it and I say amen, guess what? It's done. Because he said, when I ask him, if it's according to his will, which healing is, prosperity, all those things are, according to his will, the first time I said to him, Father, I thank you, we won't have to have a sprinkler system. In Jesus' name, it was settled. And I'm going to tell you what you do from that place going forward. Because a lot of people, you know what they do, and it's such a lack of faith, they just keep asking the same thing over and over and over again. That's not how you do it. Just keep praying for the same thing. That's not faith. That's actually a lack of faith. The prayer of faith is to be prayed one time. Because why? It was done the minute he heard it. The second he heard it, the Bible said we had it. It didn't say, what's it say? If we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we have. What equals the having? You have it when he hears you. You don't have it when it shows up or when 10 days down the road and you ask it. No, no. When you asked it, if he heard you, the Bible says, we know we have. If he hears, we know we have. If he hears, we know we have. The hearing equals the having. If we get him to hear it, it equals us having it. How do we get him to hear us? Ask according to his will. Where did Abraham's confidence come from? It was God's will that he have a baby at 100 years old. Where can your confidence come from? In the incurable condition that you're going through or the financial problem you're going through? Find out what his word says. It doesn't matter what the natural says. This is your title deed. This is the proof that healing belongs to you. Amen. I mean, this will just change your life if you'll let it. Some people need to just flush all that haughty-taughty religion that they've been taught their whole life right down the toilet. Right. If it ain't the Bible and it ain't God, I don't care how much grandma said it. Yeah. Say, you're mean to grandma. No. I don't care how much Pastor Mike says anything. If it's not the Bible, who cares? Right. Amen? Yeah. Find out now. So I told you last week, you get faith, you hear the word. Find out a verse for specifically what you're going through. That is your title deed, that it belongs to you even when you can't see it. I can show you, I have a truck. I don't see it. You don't need to see it. I got the title deed. I have my healing. Where? You're sick. Right here. It says it's my title deed. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word tonight. Oh, man, oh, man, we love the word. Father, your word is good. Lord, we put our faith in you, not the natural. The natural lied to Abraham. The natural says you can't have a baby. Sarah's body said you can't have a baby. Friends and family members said you can't have a baby. But it doesn't matter what friends and family members say. Oh, now listen to this. It doesn't matter what your body says to you. Doesn't matter what the doctor's report says to you. It matters what God says. Father, we thank you for the word that tells us your will and lays a foundation for things to believe for that our natural minds wouldn't even be able to even think about comprehending to receive. But your word, if you say it, Father, I believe it, and that settles it. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what so-and-so says. If you said it, that settles it. Amen. You need to live by that model. If you said it, that settles it. That's all there is to that. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you tonight. Now, if I could ask a favor of everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. Please, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question here tonight. If today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know without a shadow of a doubt that I would go to heaven when my heart stopped beating? When I ask myself that question, I know for certain I'm going to heaven. And you think, Pastor, how can you be so sure about that? That's a big thing. Well, it's not because heaven's a big thing to believe for. It's something that I've never seen before, but God gave me the title deed on heaven. He gave me his word, and he said, Pastor Mike, if you'll believe on Jesus, believe that he died and rose again, and if you'll receive him and confess that he's your Lord and Savior, I'll save you, and heaven will be yours. That's what he said in the word. Well, I've done that before. In fact, I did it on January 10th, 2002 at a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. And so I have heaven. He didn't say going to church will get you into heaven. He didn't say being a good person and having your good works outweigh your bad will get you into heaven. Excuse me. He didn't say generosity will get you into heaven. No, it's good to be generous. It's good to be moral. And it's good to go to church. But they don't get you into heaven. Jesus gets you into heaven. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor, I never received Jesus. You just told me how to get to heaven. I've never received Jesus. I thought by being a good person I'd go to heaven. No, there's a lot of good people that go to hell. I thought by being a church attender that I'd go to, no, there's going to be a lot of people that just went to church and are not in heaven. It's about receiving Jesus. So if you're here tonight and you could say, Pastor, I've never received Jesus, but I want to. I do believe in him. In my heart of hearts, I know he was real, and I want to receive him. Let me encourage you with this. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor, I want to go to heaven. I just told you how free and easy it was. You'd be a fool to turn this down. You're not becoming a member of this church or anything like that. You're just declaring you believe in Jesus. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you want to receive Jesus for the very first time and know for sure that you're going to heaven when your last day on this earth comes, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive the Lord tonight? Anybody at all? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. There's no reason to be shy or ashamed of this. I'm not going to call anybody out or embarrass anybody. You just saw it. I just tell you to put your hand right down. Anybody else in this room that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life and you want to do so tonight and know for sure that you're going to heaven? Again, you're not joining the church. Just lift your hand high in the air. Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all before we close? Father, we had a hand, and there might be other people in here that maybe just are shy to raise their hand. It's not the raising of the hand that gets us saved. And there might be people listening online right this minute or in the future on the archive that I can't obviously see their hands. So it's the hands. It's about the believing and the receiving of Jesus. So if you're here tonight and you raised your hand, or if you're here tonight and you should have raised your hand but you didn't, or if you're listening by live stream and you obviously couldn't see your hand but you want to receive Jesus, we're going to go ahead and pray a prayer. And I just ask you to mean this with all your heart. This prayer is going to be, the makeup of this prayer is going to be you confessing your belief for Jesus and inviting him into your heart. Now, you're not going to be the only one saying it. The whole church is going to say this with you. We're not trying to single you out. But if you raised your hand, should have, or if you're listening by live stream, you want to be included, mean this with all your heart, along with everybody else in the church. Say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross
for my sins.
I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we like getting people saved around here. It's my favorite thing in the whole wide world. Well, just before we dismiss you here, we're going to stand up and praise God in a second. But don't forget, Tuesday night. Oh, boy. Ooh-wee. I mean, you got to learn how to release your faith now, what to do the right way. So anyways, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, we'll be back here. Let's stand to our feet, and let's begin to just worship him and thank him. I mean, let's all worship him. We all have something to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. If we don't have faith, we know how to get it. We know how to get it. We know what the confidence is. We praise you, Lord. Father, bless each and every person as they go from this place. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.
Come on, sing it out. My Savior.